Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Saturday morning, so we have open lines and we're also discussing topics that we aren't normally discussing in our Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday series. We've been on a tithing series. We've been discussing the scriptural aspects and comparing what the scriptures actually say about tithing versus giving. And the scriptures are very clear about each one of those. And it's very clear as to, the scriptures are very clear as to who should be tithing and when, where, why, and how. And just so to give you a heads up, the scriptures are so clear about who should be tithing and when and where and how that we, you and I, are excluded from that requirement. Instead, we are, by our new nature, to learn how to give. And we fall into the unfortunate habit of intermingling and equalizing tithing and giving. And they are two very distinct concepts, both scripturally and practically speaking. We'll get into some great detail later when we talk about giving and what you and I are going to be doing as our new nature becomes more and more dominant in our practical outlook on a day-to-day basis. But what I want to do is convince and convict according to the scriptures. Let them, if you are following the scriptures to tell you, if you are relying on them, on the scriptures to tell you what is right and wrong on this subject, I want to be very clear and go through what the scriptures say about tithing and giving. So far, we have looked at the distinction, and this is one of the very fundamental distinctions we need to get into our heads, that the scriptures talk about, well, let's say, what we are using, the English, or, now I'm not even sure about how it's approached in other languages, but it's unfortunate that the same word was used in translating two very distinct concepts in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Old Covenant and the New Testament. Tithing is, the word tithe, T-I-T-H-E, is translated both a noun and a verb. We've discussed that a noun is merely a tenth of a bigger noun. That if you've got 10 fingers, one of them is a tithe. Two of them would be two tithes. Three of them would be three tithes. That it is merely a fraction. It is a tenth. It's a decimal point. It has no meaning in and of itself. It is merely a tenth. So when we are talking about under the Old Covenant, and this was frequent throughout the world, cross religion, there's no great significance in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant characters we know of giving a tenth. This was a very common expression to different cultural gods. But the distinction we want to make is between the verb and the noun. The noun is an amount, a quantity, or a character of a larger. If we're going to travel 10 miles, once we've gotten halfway there, we have gotten five tithes of the way there, five tenths. It is merely a number, a quantity. It has no meaning in and of itself. Now, the verb, on the other hand, is very clearly delineated in the scriptures. And again, if you're looking to the scriptures to tell you what to do on this issue, let's look really specifically at what the scriptures say. And since this is what people use, you know, the scriptures tell you to do this, that, and the other thing, we want to look at, do the scriptures really say, do this, that, and the other thing? So the tithing that people refer to is a verb and not the noun. To tithe is not the tenth, which is a number, but is an action. And we'll look at how very clear the scriptures are about the conditions surrounding the verb. And we'll do that in part by looking at all the examples of the noun when the noun is used. So far, we've looked at in the pre-codification, before the law was written down, in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, before the covenant was made, before the covenant was written down, we're going to look at the different examples of when the word tithe or tenth was used. And it wasn't until the law was written down that the verb tithe was used. So a lot of the challenges we have is merely because of the translation, that we figure since the word tithe is used throughout the Bible that it's the verb, but it's not, it's the noun. So we've already looked at the example in Genesis 14 of Abram, and people say that Abram tithed to Melchizedek, but that's inaccurate. That's scripturally inaccurate. Abram gave to Melchizedek. He gave. He didn't tithe. He gave a tenth. So if you wanted to go through, and this is what we'll be doing, if you wanted to go through your Bible, again, if you're using scriptures to support your belief in this, go through and every place that the word tithe is used as a noun, a tenth, change that word tithe to tenth. And you'll start to see more clearly what the scriptures are saying, what the record really is. So we learned that Abram gave a tithe. Tithe is the noun. Gave is the verb. Now, we also look at the ramifications, the practical consequences and requirements surrounding that giving. and we will look at the specifics of the when we look at the specifics of the requirements of the tithe, we will see that there were that command to tithe came from someone, came from God. There was a specific amount, condition, time, frequency, and there were specific consequences to not tithing. For now, let's just look at the clarity. Melchizedek came to bless Abram. In turn, Abram gave him a tenth of his goods. Melchizedek never asked him for it, let alone commanded him for a tithe, and it was a one-time deal, and it wasn't to a church. It was to Melchizedek. So Abram gave a gift to a person one time. So Abram didn't tithe. Abram gave. And it's interesting that Abram's gift was in response to a blessing he received from Melchizedek, not as a precondition. Not if you don't tithe, I won't bless you. It was as a response. Now that in mind, let's look at the next example. And yes, this is going to be a long series because we're going to go through every example. If you want to move along more quickly, go to the website or the profile page, and there's a link to the whole document, all the research I've done, all the research that I've written down. There's more that I didn't include that we'll talk about. But just look for the tithing link under links, and you can download the PDF, and you're free to share that. You're free to share it with others, with those who are telling you should tithe. But this is the challenge, is if someone's not willing to change their beliefs, there's nothing you're going to be able to do to convince them otherwise. We have to start with the supposition that much of what we believe we've received. We haven't been taught from God. We've just been taught by others. And so when we understand that our life here, our time here, is going to be a time of changing our beliefs, when we understand and grasp that, we are much more willing to let go of what we believe in order to receive more of the living God, God's eternal life now. So start there. Start, Lord, if this is from you, I want to hear it. If it's from him, it will bring you life. It will bring you freedom. It will. Now, it's going to put more responsibility and authority in your life. When we talk about the parameters of giving, because God, it is very important to God that you give. And when we are relying on a structure, a formula, that as long as we've tithed, we've satisfied that requirement of God, unfortunately, that excludes God from talking to you specifically in an area that's very important to him. But those are consequences of believing a lie. So let's look at Jacob in Genesis 28, 10 through 22. Now I'm going to go ahead and read this scripture, but if you want to follow along, feel free. When we talk about what God is doing in our lives, when we talk about our beliefs, we always start with, do we recognize his voice? Do we recognize what he is saying to us personally? And these are the areas where when we are confronted with something we do or don't believe in or want to learn about or are basing our faith on, when we start realizing that maybe it's only a shadow, that's very often the shaking that God wants to do in our life. So don't pull back from it. Embrace the shaking. God's rocking your boat. Don't try to quiet it, but go with Him. This is how you build trust in Him. He will come through. He will tell you what you need to know. He will give you the information, the understanding, if this is something He wants to talk to you about. Now, if He's not dealing with you about this yet, just hold on to this information. We're going to let God decide what's most important. But if this is something that's sparking a reaction in you, whether it's positive or negative, ask the Lord to reveal truth to you. Don't assume you know it. So in Jacob, in Genesis, chapter 28, verses 10 through 22. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. Now hopefully you're familiar with this story already. And he lighted upon a certain place, and he tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. So this is Jacob's ladder. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So here is Jacob, and he's going to sleep in this place, and he has a dream where God makes him wonderful promises to him and his seed. And God commits to him and says, I will do what I have spoken to thee. And Jacob wakes up and he takes the stone, he sets it up as a pillar, he pours oil on it, he vows a vow, and he commits that if God will do such and what God has promised to do, then he will follow God. And then he will give a tenth unto God. So this is the second example where we see tithe used. And here it is correctly translated as tenth. And the verb is give. So it is once again giving a tenth. But let's look at it a little closer and look at some of the interesting parameters about this. In response to the promises of the Lord, Jacob makes up his own covenant. He couldn't just accept God's blessing. God said, I'm going to do this for you. Jacob made a covenant out of it. God just wanted to give it. Jacob couldn't receive it. He makes up his own covenant. So even though God never asked for it, Jacob says that if God will take care of him and bless him, he will, when he has arrived safely home again, give God a tenth of everything he has. God never told him to. This reveals more the difficulty Jacob had in receiving unconditionally from God, rather than a reflection of God's heart, his requirements, or his intentions toward him, and just his desire to bless Jacob. God never told Jacob to do anything. Nonetheless, Jacob made a vow that at some point in time he would give a tenth of everything God blessed him with back to him. Now, what's interesting is we have absolutely no record that Jacob ever carried out the giving part, though God certainly blessed him as he had said. So this is the second example where the word tithe is used to mean a tenth, and it's in response to God giving first. And it's a response to try to keep things equal. So before the law was written down, here's what we can conclude. First, in both of these instances, God never commanded anyone to tithe. There was no covenant. Later, God did indeed make a covenant with Abram. In fact, God made many promises to Abram and successive generations. All Abram had to do was circumcise his sons. Secondly, let's remember that the law had yet to be codified. It was not yet written down. The conditions of relationship were not written down. This is significant because it means that neither Jacob nor Abram were following guidelines previously given by God. These events, Abram giving a tenth to Melchizedek, and Jacob vowing at some future point to give a tenth back to God, were outside or before guidelines, regulations, or laws, or requirements of any kind was given. So in neither one of these cases did God ask for it. And in neither one of these cases was anything based on a previous agreement, anything written down, or anything required. So we can conclude that neither Jacob nor Abram tithed. Abram gave freely, and Jacob promised to give. If God did what he had already unconditionally promised to do, there were no consequences tied to either one of them not giving. God was going to do what God was going to do. There were no consequences and there were no requirements. So then what about when the law was written down? This began under the time of Moses, and we're at this point in time, maybe sometime we will, but we won't get into the history of the Bible itself, the writings that have been included in the Bible. But it's an interesting study if you ever want to look into that. We're going to look at the scriptures at face value and just go through what has come to us as far as what the scriptures say. So the next section of the scriptures we've looked at before the law was written down. Now we're going to look at the written law of Moses, or the codified law. Again, the difference is when, if you and I discussed, say, I was going to sell you my car, and I was going to sell it to you for $3,000, and we made that agreement. That's an agreement. But until I write it down and you sign it and you hand me the money, that's a codified contract. That's the contract. So before that, when we're just talking about, I'm going to do this if you do this, I'm going to sell you my car if you pay me $3,000. That's the condition under which Abram and Jacob had their experiences with God. Now we're moving into, it's going to be written down, and it's going to be agreed upon. This is how we're going to relate to God as far as his people. So we can start with that tithing was instituted as part of the covenant in Leviticus 27, 30 through 34. And we'll start there next Saturday. But let's just remember that throughout time, that the Bible, it follows a timeline. The scriptures follow a timeline. And even though, especially in the New Testament, the time is out of whack, well, in the Old Testament as well, it's grouped by content and approach, not by time. So we'll pick it up there next Saturday. I do encourage you, feel free to go to the link, download the PDF, and go through this for yourself. There's a whole section that we'll spend a lot of time on giving, what we are to be doing. Your new nature is as a giving person. So you will find yourself under greater requirements, greater challenges, greater responsibility than you are under tithing. So thanks for tuning in. Have a great weekend, and we'll be getting back together again Monday morning at 7:30. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio.